What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We got Lucas Dargo on. Lucas is an athletic trainer. I've been an athletic trainer for about 3 years. And Lucas, thanks for reaching out to me and bringing up a topic that we're going to talk about in September or October, and something that I honestly have no idea about, and it's dealing with like social work as an athletic trainer. So look forward to that coming up. But again, this right here is all about you, Lucas, as a listener of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, as an athletic trainer, getting a chance to tell your story. So tell me, when did you first hear about athletic training?
Okay, so I actually got hurt when I was a freshman football player, and I really wasn't very good, so I just kind of, you know, saw the athletic trainer once and just kind of left it at that. And then I ended up getting hurt when I was kind of just going through the football and, you know, doing my thing. And I hurt my back, and I didn't realize I hurt my back. So I just, you know, kept going. But I found out in my pre-participation physical that I had a fracture in my back. So I became a manager. And then through being a manager, I just kind of, you know, saw what our athletic trainer Chester Kuhn did, and I thought what he did was pretty cool. So he left, and actually we had a new athletic trainer my senior year. Her name was Missy Chastain, and she really encouraged me to seek out athletic training. I thought I just wanted to be a teacher, and she didn't really accept that. She kept forcing me, you know, to explore that a little bit more, and then I ended up going to Ball State just to talk to the professors there. That's actually how I met my professors, and just kind of got to know them a little bit better. And after I saw our athletic training facility at Ball State, I was sold. So,
all right. So tell me a little bit more about this fracture in the back. What happened?
Yeah, actually it was just it was an L4 stress fracture. It's pretty common, I guess, but at the time I had no idea, but I thought I was going to be a wuss if I said something. So I just kept going, and I was a lineman, and I was terrible. And I was not skeletally, not as athletic as what I wish I would have been, but it was probably the best thing that ever happened to be real honest.
Gotcha. All right, so yeah, normal stress fracture. And I always get these two words confused, the spondylolysis and the spondylolisthesis.
Yeah, I think it was the second one. I do the same thing.
See, okay, good. I'm not the only one, right? And when we were talking to Cynthia yesterday, she actually had a stress fracture in her back, and she couldn't remember the correct word either. So, okay. But if, as long as we can remember stress fracture in the back, then we know we're okay.
Absolutely. I knew it hurt. That's all that I remember really from it. So,
okay, so tell me a little bit more about your career at the university, and then how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Well, I started off at Ball State, and I had experiences with gymnastics, baseball, football, and basketball. And I also I knew I wanted to be in the high school setting, so they allowed me to go out to the high school equally as much as what I was at the university. And I had two great rotations, but then I ended up, following what my preceptor Kevin McNamara does, where he was a health PE teacher and also the athletic trainer at the high school. And so he's there all day, every day. And I really got a passion for teaching and athletic training through him. So after undergrad, I went to Ohio University for graduate school, and I worked at a high school called Meigs High School, which is right along the river. And I worked there until I graduated in 2014. And then I've been here at Mount Vernon High School ever since. So pretty short story, not too many years under me yet, but.
Yeah, but it's your story, so.
That's right.
All right, so worst injury you feel like you've dealt with?
Well, I've been very fortunate, just like Tiffany, where I haven't had too many, but definitely say we have a tib-fib fracture last year with track. She caught the hurdle wrong, and I was pretty quick to respond there, but she was very upset, and that was obviously the first time she's ever been hurt quite like that, as many of our athletes are. But she was just, I don't know, I think like 4 or 5 weeks away from graduation. So she was more upset about not being able to walk for graduation, having to use crutches, I think, than anything else. So we were able to get her to the hospital fairly quickly, and EMS and all of our emergency action plan went really well. But it was pretty gruesome, not going to lie.
All right, so on that, looking at your EAP, did you make any adjustments, or did you go back and revise anything?
Absolutely. Well, the the interesting thing was that we just practiced it really just, you know, like a month before, and, you know, we had everything pretty well down. So we went back and we looked at it, and we kind of talked about just the importance of it, and I think that it made us realize how important it is before we have athletes out on the track or out doing those things. So if anything, it just really brought more focus on it, even though we get busy, and especially with football, you know, there's so many things going on at the first part of the year, but there's just such a need to be able to put everything on the back burner. So definitely something that I'll always make sure, just like, you know, you want to make sure that you have a full cooler of ice before you start two-day practice. Well, we want to make sure that we get our PB, you know, our EAPs going and getting those, making sure that all the new coaches are up to speed. And I also meet with our Posey County EMS here and make sure that we're both on the same page before we get started each year. So I think we've definitely started to foster a great relationship here.
Yeah, I was just talking with Bill today saying whenever we come back, we need to make sure we walk our kids through, you know, if we call the ambulance, this is where I need you to stand and have them actually stand there. So just practicing the EAP, like you just said. So
absolutely. And actually doing like a simulated situation, I think, is critical for everyone involved. I really do.
Yep. And in Texas here, it's actually, they're required, each team is required to do a mock safety drill. So somebody has to run and get the AED. And, you know, obviously they don't call 911, but, you know, and they're supposed to see how long it takes to do all that and that kind of thing. So it's good for us as the healthcare providers to practice it and to know very well what to do and have all of our support doing it as well. So
absolutely. That's a great idea.
All right. Tell me, what has been your most memorable moment so far as an athletic trainer?
Well, my most memorable moment, Trainers Association, and I've had a lot of great experiences as an athletic trainer, but I really enjoyed giving a presentation to our students here in Indiana and talking to them about all the different ways of getting involved with leadership. I gave that talk with Mackenzie Clark, who's an athletic trainer up in northern part of Indiana, and it just really gave me, I guess, even more of a passion than I thought I already had to share with others. You know, how can we get involved in athletic training? How can we do it, especially in the high school setting, because we're oftentimes so busy that we sometimes don't think that we have time to be able to, you know, volunteer and do different things with that. So I really enjoyed that, and I look forward to giving more talks in the future to students particularly.
Gotcha. All right, so you said at the beginning, or maybe just before we started recording, that you're teaching half days. What does your schedule normally look like?
Yeah, so I teach here at the high school from 8:05 to about 11:25 each day, and then I go home. I have a dog. I typically walk. That's how I get my exercise in. I eat lunch, and then I come back and I do treatments during our fourth period, our last period of the day, and then I do treatments right after school, and any sports that we have, then I cover that the night and provide health care. And it's all day, every day, it seems, even on Sundays. We have, it seems like, you know, some kind of something going on 6 days a week. So on the Sunday, I'm just done. And that's when I take my day off, but it's 6 days a week. So,
I mean, all right. What class are you teaching?
I teach health. So I'm going to start teaching an advanced health class next semester, where I get to hopefully talk a little bit more about athletic training specifically and talk about our roles. And I think I've really tried to expand our students' understanding of what athletic trainers do and who we are and how can we, kind of bridge that with all their other interests. So, you know, we have students that are interested in a lot of different areas of medicine. So I think that it's going to be a great class. But just since I've been here, I've only taught health.
Gotcha. And as part of the health class, do y'all have to teach them CPR or expose them to CPR?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually an instructor so that I can get them fully certified and all that. And I try to do that closer to the beginning of the year, just so, you know, if anything happens, they have hopefully the greatest amount of time in their life that they will actually be certified and that they're able to, you know, provide those life-saving measures. So that's one of my favorite units for sure.
Yeah, and you know, each year that I teach CPR, I think every year somebody has come back and said, "Hey, I use what you taught me." And just today, the assistant principal called me and told me that a girl used CPR last night to save her mom. Last night.
Oh, wow.
But I taught her last year. And so, yeah, I mean, it's crazy the effect that you'll have on people's lives. So good job.
Definitely.
All right. Your most memorable moment as an athletic trainer?
I think my most memorable moment, like I have so many, but just recently I've had a football player come back from an ACL tear, and I think it's almost cliche, but I've heard so many athletic trainers talk about this, but it really is something when you take someone who's not able to walk and they're on crutches, you know, for weeks at a time, and, you know, they go through the entire process and actually see them get ready to compete, and he's getting ready to go to college and play at the next level, and I'm really excited for him, and unfortunately he had his injury his senior year, so that took him out of the playoffs and things like that, so just really exciting to see him without crutches and to actually see him be able to work out again and kind of get back into the swing of things. Definitely an exciting time.
All right, so just seeing the successful rehab.
Absolutely, yeah. Just taking him from, you know, from the initial evaluation, and then being able to kind of walk with him through that journey, along with his you know, additional physical therapist that he's had. You know, kind of we all worked as a team to get him back as efficiently and as safely as possible. And I think that he'll tell you that he did not enjoy any part of the process. So I think he's ready to move on now. But I really liked it because I got to know him way better. And, you know, and I think oftentimes we get to know our athletes, the ones that are injured, that are chronically injured like that for a long period of time, we get to know them the best. So that's probably why it sticks out the most in my mind right now.
You know, and right now you're still young in the profession, and I'm still relatively young. But if you set up that habit now of getting to know them, it makes a huge difference, because sometimes we just end up sitting in the office and, you know, we only ask enough questions to figure out what's wrong. But if you ask them about their day or about, you know, their family or their dogs or those kind of things, that's when you develop those relationships, and then those kids become more important, and then they share more with you, and you remember that stuff longer. So, yeah, I never want anybody to be in there for a long rehab, but when kids come in, I try to encourage them to engage in conversation. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what makes our job very rewarding, I guess. You know, just we are able to share so much of our lives with them, and they're able to do the same thing. So makes our job worth doing for sure.
For sure. All right. So a life lesson you've learned up till now.
Well, I'm getting ready to get married here in the next, I don't know how many days it is, probably like 25 or something like that. Trying to go through the engagement and through the entire process of trying to plan a wedding while being able to successfully work two different jobs, I think I've learned the most about when do you care about the details and when do you just maybe allow other people to take over those details for you, and really just trying to figure out the work-life balance a little bit more so. Last year I wasn't engaged, and we were just dating. We really weren't, you know, engaged quite yet. And then through the engagement process, I realized that it was no longer time to just focus on just me and just my career. So it's been really fun, stressful at times. Anyone that's ever went through the, you know, getting married and engagement process and trying to work at the same time understands it. It definitely has a unique challenge to it. But it's made me, I think, work a little bit more efficiently in areas that I maybe would focus almost hyper focus on. So I think that moving forward, if we do have kids and things like that in the future, I think that'll be a really good prep work, if there is such thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, you gotta have a plan, and you know, honestly, having a dog somewhat prepared us for having kids. You know, it's obviously not the same, but you used to having to take somebody out all the time and always having to worry about about something else. So you know, those small things, they're kind of steps, natural progressions, I guess. So
yeah, I've had my dog ever since I got into the athletic training program. Well, I just got him when I was getting ready to graduate from high school. And sometimes I don't know why I did that, but I totally agree. I think that just also having a dog, I live here by myself in Southern Indiana, and all my family is originally up from like the Muncie, Indianapolis area. So it's also been good to have him just as a companionship.
Gotcha. When's your wedding date?
June 11th.
June 11th. That's my wedding anniversary.
Okay. All right. That's awesome.
Very cool. So we'll be celebrating on the same day.
How many years have you been married?
This will be 11 years. So
that's awesome.
Yep. Very exciting. So take your time and enjoy it, because hopefully it only happens once.
I sure hope so.
So, and again, this show is about you, but one thing I would highly encourage is you and your fiance at some point to take Financial Peace University from Dave Ramsey, because if you're on the same page with money, then there's a whole lot of problems that disappear, and it helps prepare or reduce the fights and therefore improve your marriage. So just something you may look into before, or probably after, because it's about 9 weeks long. So
okay, yeah. I'll have to look into that.
But again, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. One piece of advice that you have for athletic trainers.
The advice that I give my students when I was a preceptor for Ohio and now that I am for the University of Evansville, I try to make sure that my students enjoy being there each day and try to do whatever they can to find the joy, because there's so many negatives around us. Like, you know, sometimes parents are not always the most positive towards us, or even, dare I say it, sometimes coaches. So I think that we have to remember to focus on the good things and really those relationships that we establish. And, you know, these student athletes are really looking out to us, and they need us. And, you know, if we're having a bad day, that affects them, whether we sometimes are aware of that or not. They're very in tune to us and our emotions, and we need to be cognitive and aware of that so that we're able to, you know, put them in the best possible mood. And, you know, sometimes I think that right after school, that's the best time that we can get them to debrief about their day. And so, don't forget to, you know, enjoy along the way.
Great advice. I remember in college one time I was being cranky or something, and I put an ice bag on a girl a little too hard. She was like, "Jeremy, I like you, but don't ever do that again." Like, oh yeah. Yeah, my attitude has to, you know, be good and encouraging. So yeah, great advice.
Yeah.
All right. Now tell me three people you would like to thank and why.
All right. Well, first, I have to thank my fiance, because she puts up with me and she allows me to work these long, crazy hours sometimes. But she knows that it's a job that I enjoy, and she's an elementary ed major, so she understands a lot of the stress that I go through and the joys that I get to go through too. So I definitely appreciate her. Second person I want to thank is one of my professors from my undergrad at Ball State, Dr. Walker. She has been there with me ever since my freshman year, and I've always looked up to her and I've always admired her. She's just so brilliant, and she's so passionate about athletic training. And I think that through her passion, it's really helped to spark my passion in athletic training. So, the last person is my preceptor I mentioned earlier, Kevin McNamara. He is the athletic trainer at Yorktown High School up in Yorktown, Indiana. He shared with me the passion, not just for athletic training, but for teaching. And I think he's really the one that taught me that life lesson of always enjoy your work. And, if you can enjoy your work, then it's going to be so much more than just a job. It's going to become really a passion and a career. And I think that's what I have. I definitely think I have a career and something that I look forward to every day. And I'm very thankful to all three of them, because I'm the person I am today because of them.
Very cool. When is your wife graduating?
She actually just graduated 2 weeks ago, so that's what's added even more to the craziness of May. So she's now currently looking for a job, and we're hoping that we're going to be in the same school system. So now we just need jobs to open up and you know, all that to kind of sort itself out here.
Yeah, that's a huge 1 month span. Graduate from college, get a new job, get married. Yep. So.
Yeah, well, it's with being a high school athletic trainer, I jokingly told her when we got married, all right, you have five Saturdays that you can choose from, and you know, we really don't have much free time. So I knew that, you know, things would have to probably be a little, you know, rushed in some areas, but I know it'll be worth it in the end.
Yeah. Do you guys work over the summer?
No. Well, just, you know, depending on when baseball gets done, and then at the very, very beginning of August, August 1st, this upcoming year, that's when we'll start with football. So, no, but it almost seems like the summer, you know, is just, it just goes so fast.
Yeah, so good that you planned it at the beginning, so you kind of have, you know, more or less 2 months to figure each other out before you go back to work and disappear, so.
Yeah, and then disappear again, yeah.
But with her being a first-year teacher, because my wife used to teach elementary music, so, but the thing is, we got married, and she still had 2 years of school, so we had you know, those 2 years before we had to figure out how to be a teacher. But so now she stays home with our kids. So we lead a very similar life here, Lucas.
Yep. Boys marry a teacher. They're the best.
All right, Lucas, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I look forward to hearing you talk about being a social worker reporter or being involved in that. Kind of as you were saying, find the joy in the relationship with the kids. So building that relationship and that trust. And we'll find out more about how to do that and why that's important coming up in October or sometime like that, whenever we get it scheduled. So thank you, sir.